Let's take our Bibles tonight and go to the book of Nehemiah. Book of Nehemiah. You're always so quiet when I was presenting that. If you're excited about this thing, say amen.
Amen.
Good, good. Encourage your preacher a little bit, amen. I'm excited about this. I'll tell you what, I'm going to count the days down to when we have the opportunity to be involved in this trip to Washington, D.C. And I watched a little special on the news just the other night, and they were talking about some of the World War II veterans that are showing up to tour the new World War II memorial, which of course wasn't built when we were there, and to see these men and to shake their hands. We had an opportunity just over Christmas break to go over to Jacksonville. I went with Brother Hal and his wife. Thank you, Brother Hall, so much for keeping this thing before us and spearheading this thing, and got to sit down and thank three World War II veterans and shake their hand and thank them for what they did for our country. That was a moving experience, let me tell you. Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse number 17. Let's stand, if you will, please, with me for the reading of God's word. Nehemiah chapter number 2 and verse number 17. Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite, and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king? Then answered I them and said unto them, the Lord, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we, his servants, will arise and build. But ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray for the next few minutes as we preach the word of God, Lord, that there would be a wonderful sense of the presence and power of God in the auditorium. Lord, that we would allow you to speak to our hearts as we look at the Bible. Lord, in every generation, there has to be men and people that stand up and say, let us rise up and build. And Lord, we have no idea all that will transpire in 07. Those times are in your hands. And Lord, we pray that soon you would receive us up again and come and return, Lord, and rapture the church out. But Lord, every day that you delay ought to be a productive day. Every day that you delay, we ought to be moving forward. We ought to be building. We ought to be moving. We ought to be accomplishing what you left us here to accomplish. So I pray, Lord, that as a result of tonight's message, there would be a rededication on the part of the family here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church towards the work of God and what you would have us to do in this new year. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm going to preach on this subject, let us rise up and build. You saw the banner as you walked in this morning. That is the theme for 2007, let us rise up and build. I had a preacher ask me just the other day on the phone, Brother Ross, what are you planning to do in 07? What is the major thrust of 07? And I said, well, one of the major things that we want to accomplish in 07 is to put up a 70 by 140 foot building out here, and so that the work of the ministry here can go forward, and so that we're freed up to do some things. But I said very quickly, that's not the most important thing that we do at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. The most important thing never changes from year to year. The most important thing is getting the gospel out. The most important thing is to see people saved. The most important thing is disciple God's children and get them trained and ready to go out and reach people for Jesus Christ. What a great verse and what a great theme for a year, whether you're building a building or not. Let us rise up and build. We need to build in all areas. We need to be builders in all areas. Men, I mentioned this morning. Let's spend 07 building our marriage. Building our marriage. Say, Brother Jerry, I'm already married. But you know what, folks? I know you are. Congratulations. But you know, when you got married, you don't stop building a marriage. Matter of fact, that's when you really start building a marriage. And so we need to be builders of our marriages. We need to build our family and build our children in 2007. We need to invest in our young men and our young ladies in 2007. We need to build the ministries that we're involved in here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church in 2007. Now, before you rise up and condemn me for saying that, oh, wait a minute, Brother Jerry, this has got to be so popular. We're not to build the church. Jesus said, upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Well, I understand that, but you ought to understand also that Jesus still requires and commissions us to do the work of the ministry. To do the work of the ministry. If we're not careful, that just is an excuse to be lazy. I know God gives the increase, but He also commands us to plant and water. If you don't believe that, then just stay home next Sunday, Brother Bo, Saturday, and let Jesus visit your bus route for you. I mean, don't prepare for Sunday morning in your Sunday school class. Don't even go there, because Jesus is going to teach it for you. Now, I'm not discounting the fact that Jesus is the only one that can make good out of our labors. But folks, let's not hide behind this. Well, it's Jesus that builds the church, so we'll just sit here and lollygag and twiddle our thumbs and be half-hearted about this matter. No, if I'm a Sunday school teacher, I want to build my class. If I'm in a nursing home, I want to build and make that ministry progress. If I've got a bus route, I want to build that bus route. And I want to see this church built up, and I want to see it grow, and I want families added, and I want people saved like we've seen them saved some in this last year. But boy, I hope that was just the tip of the iceberg. We've baptized a lot of people. I hope it's dwarfed by what the Lord allows us, the number that God allows us to do this year. Folks, it is up to us to do our part and to labor and to build and to work. And yes, let God then bless the results. Amen. I agree with that. But also, while we're building our marriages and our families and our young men and our young ladies and our ministries, folks, we've got to take on a task here. And this is just the reality of it at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We need to take on a task of building a new building here on the property. And you know what? To me, that is equally as exciting as anything else that I've mentioned. And I think also very, very important for the future of our church. I don't know how many times in conversations in the last 6 months we've talked about things that we need to do here, ways we need to grow and expand, Sunday school classes that we need to split, ministries that we need to start, and so many times the conversation ends with this statement, yes, we need to do that, and as soon as we get this new building up, and as soon as we get this new building up, I want to reaffirm something as your pastor. Listen to me, you're going to have to trust me on this. I can see the ministry from a perspective that you can't. I know what's going on here. I know what needs to happen. I know the direction we need to go. And let me say this, that physical building is absolutely necessary for the progress of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. So I want you to be excited about it. I know it's just boards and plasterboard and nails and hammers and roofing and tar paper. But you know what it is? It's going to be a new barracks where we can train Christian soldiers for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to be a roof under which we can put young people and have the gospel preached to them and see them saved. It's going to allow us to take our school out of the present facility and reclaim the entire basement for our Sunday school department. I've said this time and time again, but we've got 5-6 classes right now that desperately need to be split. Some of them have needed to be split for 2-3 years. We've got some other things that we want to start and do. We have a new converts that really need to be discipled. We need to have a new convert class. We need to do some of these things. But the honest truth is, space is a real issue. And I'm excited that during this year, we'll be able to hopefully do the bulk of the building and the finishing of that building in 2007. Let us rise up and build. Let us rise up and build. Now, I want you to direct your attention, please, to verse number 18. It says this, "Then I, speaking of Nehemiah, told them of the hand of God which was good upon me, as also the king's word that he had spoken." And the last two statements here is where we're going to focus our energies, especially what the people said here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 6 important words. And they said, "Let us rise up and build." So they strengthened their hand for this good work. That's the name of the message tonight. Let us rise up and build. That's the theme for 07. Let us rise up and build. That ought to be the heartbeat of every single member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church in 07. Let us rise up and build. Brother Jerry, what are you excited about in 07? Let us rise up and build.
What's your favorite verse in 07? Let us rise up and build. What do you go to bed thinking about? Let us rise up and build. What do you get up thinking about? Let us rise up and build. That needs to be the theme of this year. That needs to be the energy that comes through the church and energizes us for the work of God. Now I want to just examine those six words. Can we do that tonight? Let us rise up and build. Who said that? Why did they say it? Let us rise up and build. Let me just put this little statement under the microscope. Number one, this was an obedient answer to a divine challenge. These six words was an obedient answer to a divine challenge. You know why this group of people said, let us rise up and build? Because God had challenged them to build the walls of Jerusalem. To rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. This was not Nehemiah's idea. This was not the people's idea. This was a divine challenge, a divine commission, a divine command from Almighty God. Let us rise up and build was their response to that challenge. God sent a man who said, God wants these walls built. And the people's response was this, let us rise up and build. Let us rise up and build. Now, I feel very comfortable talking about what I'm talking about tonight because I can tell you this. This book right here commands us, gentlemen, to build our marriages. You know what the divine answer, you know what the obedient answer to that divine challenge ought to be in every man? Let us rise up and build. Let us rise up and build. I could take the time and I won't, but we can go through page and page and scripture after scripture that tells us that we need to build our families. So I can tell you, it's not my idea that we ought to build families at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. It's not the congregation's ideas. It's God's idea that we ought to build strong families here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Now, what is the obedient answer to that divine challenge? Mommies and daddies joining hands and saying with their hearts together on their knees, let us rise up and build. Let us rise up and build our families. Young men need to be built. Young ladies need to be built. Folks, young men don't happen by accident. Young ladies don't happen by accident. Young Christian, strong young Christian men are not produced by accident. And separated, holy, chaste Christian young ladies are not produced by accident. Let us rise up and build. Ministries don't happen by accident. Bus ministries aren't built by accident. Sunday school classes aren't built by accident. Somebody hears a voice from Almighty God, a challenge, a divine challenge from God. You need to take this Sunday school class. Listen to me, I believe this. Brother Lonnie Mattingly said this one time. He said, when he was speaking to some preachers, he said, brothers, let me tell you something. He said, in your church, you'll have maintainers and you'll have builders. Boy, this is good. You'll have maintainers and you'll have builders. He said, there's some ministries that you can build, and then you'll hand it over to a guy, and he will simply maintain what you have built. But he said, we don't need in our churches maintainers. Now, thank God for maintainers. At least they can maintain what is built. But if I was just a maintainer, I'd get to an old-fashioned altar tonight, and I'd say, God, turn me from being a maintainer into a builder. Turn me from being a maintainer into a builder. I love this, just the way it happened, but I enlisted my brother Bob to take a Sunday school class this past year. And he came to me after the first Sunday, and I said, man, how did it go? And he said, I'm not sure what you want me to do. And I said, what? He said, we had one person in the class. One person in the class. I said, what? He said, I had one boy. What am I supposed to do with one boy? Should I go ahead and just teach the lesson? And by the way, I believe this. I said, brother, let me tell you something. If we have one student, you ought to set up there and you ought to open your Bible and lesson and you ought to teach it as if you had 100. Brother Howell's always said, you know what? If you preach to 5 like you'll preach to 500, one of these days you'll preach to 500. I believe that. And so I said, man, yes. But I said, you know, the challenge is there. It's in front of you. And you know what? He came to me different times in the last several months. We had 4. Hey, we had 6. Hey, we had 9. Hey, we had 11. You know, folks, listen to me. Are you a maintainer or are you a builder? Are you a maintainer? I'm talking to you, Sunday school teacher. I'm not talking to somebody behind you, in front of you. I'm talking to you. Are you a maintainer or are you a builder? What about on your bus route? Are you a maintainer or are you a builder? What about your nursing home ministry? Have you already got to that comfort spot? You've plateaued. You have no new vision, no new anything. You know, you just kind of grab the Bible on the way over and try to think of something that you're going to say and grab the songbook and there's no special music and there's no excitement and the people are as bored as you are at that thing. Are you a maintainer or are you a builder? And so everybody in here, we got to commit ourselves to this idea of rising up and building ministries here and getting involved and asking God, Lord, help me to sow more and help me to water more so that you can then bless with an increase. Let me say this also, I believe this. The obedient answer to the divine challenge in putting this building up from the members of Blessed Hope Baptist Church ought to be this: let us rise up and build. Let me just say this. I didn't come up with this idea. This wasn't something where I said, you know what, boy, we just need to spend a bunch of money and exert a bunch of energy, and it's not really a need, but it'll be fun, so I think I'll build a building. Matter of fact, if I had a choice and if I could get out of it anyway, I would have already gotten out of it. Because this is not something that generally is something that a preacher looks forward to. I mean, this is extra work. It's extra everything. But let me tell you something. You know what? God's going to bless that thing, and God's going to use that thing, and it's absolutely necessary for the ministry to go forward. So the obedient answer to a divine challenge is let us rise up and build. Let us rise up and build. Let me say something else about this little statement. This little six-word statement, let us rise up and build. It was also the patriotic answer to a national crisis. You think about this. It was the patriotic answer to a national crisis. Let me share something with you. Let me share my heart a little bit with you. I think you know this, but we're in trouble. No, I don't mean just a little bit. I mean America is in a whole lot of trouble. Folks, in 1 year, it is scary the advances that the sodomites have made on the national scene. Hey, Brother Jerry, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. Well, you need to read your Bible. You need to find the Bible. Who cares what you think anyway? I'm more interested in God's opinion than your opinion. Shame on you. Shame on you for differing in opinion with God. Guess who's right? Guess who's wrong? Figure it out. If God condemns something in this book, it's wrong whether you think it's wrong or not. The abortionists are making headway. Here's another issue. I know you think I've got it in for Walmart. Do you know Walmart sells that abortion pill in every state in the union? Abortion on demand pill, they sell it and they're not required to. They're only in two states required by law to make it available. The rest of the states, they do it voluntarily. Amen. They got in the booze business, back in the homosexual agenda. Now they're in the abortion business. Shop where you want. The patriotic answer to a national crisis. Let me read the verse to you. Verse 17, "Then said I unto them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the walls of Jerusalem, that we be no more reproached." Say, Brother Jerry, why should we build our marriages? Because, listen, I'm telling you that this is true. The patriotic answer to a national crisis is men standing up and rebuilding some walls that have crumbled. The most patriotic thing we can do in 07 is to rebuild a marriage if it needs rebuilt, to rebuild our family if it needs rebuilt, to build some young men for the future. To build some young ladies for the future. To build the ministries here and reach people for Jesus Christ. And I'm going to put this in with it. To build that building out there, it's our patriotic duty. You know why? Because America needs churches like Blessed Hope Baptist Church and other good churches to rise up and build and to go forward. We can't afford to just sit back and say, well, we'll just hunker down. Let's just circle the wagons and pray for Jesus to come back. Good night. Let's do something while we've got breath to do it. Let's do something while we've got strength to do it. Work, for the night is coming when no man can work. I mean, the trumpet could sound sometime in 07, and we've spent 07 doing what? Well, hopefully we've spent 07 building something, building some things that need to be built. Let me just say this, because I want to say it. We need to rededicate ourselves at this church for patriotic reasons alone. I know that there's scriptural reasons. But for patriotic reasons, we need to rededicate ourselves at Blessed Hope Baptist Church to turning out men at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Men, young men. We need to train our young men to be men. We need to train our young ladies to be chaste, dedicated, submissive Christian young ladies. You know why? Because that is the hope for the next generation. Brother Jerry, I'm telling you what, the world and our country in particular is going to hell in a handbasket. Well, let me tell you what's going to turn that thing around. Some Christian young people that still stick by the old paths. Christian young people that won't join every movement that's going on out there. Some Christian young people that will be raised with some convictions about them and a love for this book and a determination to stand for the things that have been sacred throughout the history of this country. I'm just going to tell you, parents, I'll just let the cat out of the bag a little bit. Our boys, when they come back this next semester, you just might want to pray about this before you send them back. But I've talked to Brother Reiser. I am reinstituting a brand new, complete revamping of Blessed Hope Baptist School as far as our older boys. We are going to rededicate ourselves into turning out men. I mean, you think you're coming back to school, you're not. You're coming to boot camp. Some of you are looking scared, and you ought to look scared. I'm telling you. Mamas, listen to me. I'm going to have every mom in here mad at me except the godly ones. Except the godly ones. I'm going to get you all mad except the godly ones. I'm glad your little boy has you. Because every boy needs a mama. But I'm not their mama. And let me just say this to all of the ladies here. You're an important part in your son's life. But you will never, and you do not have the ability to turn that young man into a man, into a young man into a young boy into a man. Men have to turn boys into men. Now stop coddling them. Stop letting them come home and hide behind your apron strings and boo-hoo every time some man challenges them and makes them step up and start acting like a man. And I'm just telling you right now, you might as well pray about it. You know, they want me to come down to Chris Mumaugh. He's got me on this again. They want me to come back and teach at this thing again. They said, what do you want to speak to the youth workers about? What do you want to speak to the... I'm going to go there. I'm going to go to this thing down in Milford. I'm going to talk to, you know, I don't know how many will be in there, 40 or 50 people that work in youth groups across the country. Youth workers, I'm going to go in there and talk to them. I said, here's the topics that I want to speak on. And I said, number one, this is the first one. What I'm going to preach, I'm going to speak on this. I may preach it here. Here it is. Why the military turns out men and fundamental churches are turning out wimps. Brother Jerry, are we going to get militant around here? Yep. Now, mamas, don't get mad at me, but guess what? You know why sometimes a boy will leave, and I'm not even condoning, I'm not even encouraging our young men to go into the military. Matter of fact, it would be pretty rare for me to counsel a young man to go into the military. It would have to be an unusual young man. Get mad if you want to, but I'm just telling you, if you think it's a game, it's not a game. Not against it, but I'm just saying, but you better be strong if you're going to do it. But you know the first thing they do? They take them to boot camp. Guess what? Mama don't get to come. Mama don't get to come. No, excuse me. Mama don't get to come. I'm just going ahead and giving you the heads up so you can just get ready to get mad. But you ought to be glad. We are dying in this nation for lack of men. Brother Jerry, every once in a while when you go out and preach, and I'm going to tell you one of the sermons I've preached across the country. It's a message entitled The Death of Masculinity. We're dying. I'm so sick of sissy boys. I'm so sick of spineless wonders. I'm so sick of boys that don't have enough discipline to have a pure mind. And treat young ladies decent. Keep their hands to themselves. Say yes sir, no sir. Open a door for a lady. Know how to walk. Know how to talk. Know how to represent Jesus Christ. When the authority's not around, instead of waiting for that opportunity so you can do something stupid or immoral or wicked, to be the one that when that stuff starts, say, hey, we ain't doing that. I'm so tired of spineless 14-year-olds and 15-year-olds and 16-year-olds, I could puke. Shame on you. Shame on you.
Well, I couldn't help it. I just couldn't help it. You know, she was there and she wanted to kiss and I just couldn't help it.
Well, I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you right out the door. You aren't going to be worth 10 cents to the Lord Jesus Christ. Good night. If you know, the first requirement for a disciple is to deny yourself. Just because your little flesh wants to do something don't mean your flesh ought to do it. I'm just telling you right now. When they come home that first day, get ready to hear the crying. And the wise parents will say, praise the Lord, good, you need it. And the unwise parents will say, well, you poor little thing, I can't believe it, I'll just make an appointment. You go ahead, call in, make all the appointments you want. I won't be at any of them, but make all of them you want. By the way, every man in here ought to be saying amen. Amen. Every man in here ought to be looking up here, shaking their head yes, and saying, thank God I got a man for a preacher.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. Right. Amen. We've got to turn out some men. I'm not talking about being unkind to boys. I'm not talking about being cruel to boys. I'm not talking about teaching boys and treating them disrespectful. But I am talking about godly men, training young men to be godly men. I'm talking about demanding some things. I'm talking about stop listening to a bunch of excuses and whining and crying like a bunch of little girls. We need some young ladies. We're revamping that part of it too. No good to raise a bunch of young men and then have a bunch of, you know, Britney Spears wannabe diva wannabes hanging around here. By the way, if that's what you want, just pack your bags, all right? Just clear your desk out tonight. If that's what's important to you, just clear your desk out tonight. Stop shopping in the shops and buying the clothes that Britney Spears would buy. Stop mimicking the styles of the divas just because you can get inside the borderlines of the rules and still do it. Good night. What in the world's wrong with those? Are you listening to us? The patriotic answer to a national crisis, and we are in a national crisis, is let us rise up and build. I must hasten. Let me just give you this real quickly. It was a consolidated answer from a united remnant. Look at the verse. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. I'll just tell you something. Some of you and your lack of enthusiasm for this building program bothers your preacher. We need to be of one heart and of one mind, and we ought to be energized and excited about what's happening here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Now, I can't change you, and I'm not going to try to change you, because I've learned a long time ago that only God can change somebody. But it's about time that you get out there and get excited about what your preacher's excited about, and excited about what the church is excited about, and get on board. Amen. Amen. Consolidated answer. Every one of them, they said, this wasn't some preacher up here like a John the Baptist, a lonely voice in the wilderness all by himself saying, let's do something. And a bunch of mute-mouthed people staring at him or looking down at the floor, cleaning their fingernails. Man, whatever touched Nehemiah, they let that same thing touch them. The fire that touched Nehemiah, they let that fire touch them. The excitement that enveloped Nehemiah, they let that excitement envelop them. They said, man, let's do something. Let's do something for the Lord. You don't understand, Brother Dear, I've got my issues and I've got my problems. I mean it. Get over it. Get over it. Get up and get busy. Are you listening to me? Boy, this is good stuff. He said, the words in those verses are they, us, they, and there. He said, is there always going to be detractors? Well, right after let us rise up and build, verse number 19, Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem begin to laugh, to scorn, and despise us. You know what, folks? There's always going to be detractors. There's always going to be critics to the people that are building. Listen, let me say that again. There's always going to be detractors. There's always going to be naysayers. There's always going to be critics. You know, we've got a generation of critics. Some of you watch the news way too much. Let me tell you what the news is. Turn your TV off 6:30 every night. Just turn it off. Just turn it off. 6:30. Turn it off. Turn it off. Well, I want to hear the news. You're not hearing the news. They do not report the news. I'm telling you right now, you are not hearing the news. You are hearing critics criticize our leadership and our policies. You're listening to critics, and you've listened to it. I mean, our society has. We've listened to it so much, we've fallen into the same thing ourselves. Excuse me, Barbara Walters, when's the last time you humped an 80-pound, 90-pound bag on your backpack on your back, taking M16, and actually went out there and fought for your country? You know what she does? I'm going to tell you what she does, folks. These people are worshipped like some kind of celebrities. I mean, they're some kind of gods in our country. I'll tell you what she does. She lives in a nice home. She has all the luxury. She has her attendants. She has her maid. She has her chauffeur. She has a cush life, and she's traveled back and forth between her house and whatever place she's going, walking into men that actually are showing up and leading a country. And sitting there nitpicking and criticizing and criticizing and nitpicking and nitpicking and criticizing and nitpicking. And they've put themselves up on some pedestal like that is their God-given. Listen, folks, their God-given task, if they have one, is to report the news. What you're hearing on ABC, NBC, and CBS is a liberal commentary of what is happening. A liberal, slanted commentary. Bunch of critics that just sit there, and no matter what happens, they're going to find something negative to say about it. Now watch this. Wait a minute. Has that infected the church? Have you turned into a spiritual armchair quarterback? Do you show up and help carry the load, or you just sit around and criticize those that are? This was a consolidated answer from a united remnant. A group of people that joined their hearts. They accepted and respected Nehemiah as the leader that God sent them. They caught hold of his vision. They said, collectively, we will do this. And then two or three outsiders, fringe people, started to criticize and despise. And I love Nehemiah's answer. Verse 20, then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Let me just say this to you critics. God will prosper us. God will prosper us. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build. But ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. Well, that's pretty plain preaching, man, alive. I don't think this guy would last in an average Baptist church. He'd get voted out in the first week he was there. Amen. Amen. At least for 1 week, they would have had a man of God. At least for 1 week, they would have heard the truth. Well, that's good for us. Let us rise up and build. Six words, but aren't they powerful? Let me give you the last one. This was not only the obedient answer to a divine challenge, the patriotic answer to a national crisis, the consolidated answer from a united remnant, but it was a determined answer from a group of courageous servants. A determined answer. Now, I love that little phrase, and then we'll be done. After it says, let us rise up and build, after they spoke up in unison with one voice and said, let us rise up and build, the next sentence says this, so they strengthened their hands for this good work. And I love this. You know what, folks? There's talk and then there's walk. There's words and then there's deeds. No matter what you say here tonight or how loud you yell amen, let me ask, dare you to do something. Let me challenge you, your pastor, to do something right now. In these months, as we build up to the building program starting, we ought to be strengthening our hands for this good work. We ought to be preparing. We ought to be working our schedules, preparing our schedules, sacrificing financially, already determined and ready to sacrifice extra time, decided already I'm going to be part of the group that's in there at these work parties doing the work. I'm not going to be a sideliner. I'm not going to be an armchair quarterback. I'm not going to say, let us rise up and build, and then go and sit down in a recliner somewhere and look for the remote. You see, folks, there's talk and then there's walk. And what I like about these people is they said, let us rise up and build, and immediately scattered around. They said, where's our tools? We need to get our tools ready. Hey, we need to get the equipment ready. Hey, we need some material. What have we got? What can we donate? Hey, let's get this thing done! And I believe it's true in marriages. I think there's guys that talk it, but they won't walk it. I think it's true in families. I think there's people that talk it, but they won't walk it. I think it's true, and this lip service we're giving and trying to raise young men and young ladies, it's one thing to preach a message like this, the importance of it. And by the way, before I started talking about changes in the school and I was talking about the need to build young men, there was amens all over this place. Then it got a little quiet after that. You know, you can talk it, but when you walk it, you find out who's there. One thing to talk about it. Another thing for somebody to stand up and have the courage to say, well, listen, what's wrong and how do we need to fix it? I've never been interested in how much this school resembles a public school. Never been interested in that. Matter of fact, I think the more that it drifts away, the public school and society drifts away, the less this school ought to resemble hardly anything that's going on in the public school system. Our goals aren't the same. Our plan's not the same. Our purpose isn't the same. Our direction isn't the same. Our methods aren't the same. Our God is not the same. Why in the world should anything else be the same? Isn't that true? So here I'm asking for this tonight. I would like to hear from God's people a determined answer from a group of courageous servants. They said, I know that there's always going to be the Tobias and the Sanballats. I know those people exist, but you know what? I'll tell you something. 07, I'm going to grab a hold of this theme that our preachers put in front of us, let us rise up and build, and I'm going to be a part of what's going on around here. I'm going to find a part of the ministry and build it. As a husband, I'm going to work on building my family. As a wife, I'm going to work on building a marriage. And as a church member, I'm going to work at seeing that this church goes forward. And be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. I'm going to be a cheerleader instead of a critic. I'm going to be glad about what's going on instead of sad about what's going on. I'm going to be thankful to God that I'm not sitting in some little dead church somewhere, putting in my time, waiting until Jesus comes. Amen. Let us rise up and build. Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless us. I pray that you bless us. But God, make us blessable. Make us determined. Give us courage. Make us obedient. Make us patriotic again. And Lord, as far as our church family, make us consolidated. Make us united. Make us determined. Give us a servant heart. Help us to have the courage, Lord, to go forward and make a difference in 07. I pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. We're not going to have a long invitation, but I think it's a very important invitation. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. What about it? This is the last year. The piano player begins to play. The last day of the year, 07 is laid out before you. Are you on the bubble? Are you still vacillating? Are you half in, half out? Hey, why don't you get on board? Why don't you be a part? Why don't you get excited? Why don't you sign up? Why don't you get involved? Why don't you make a commitment? Why don't you burn your bridges? Why don't you get rid of your excuses? Man, let's do something in 07. This could be the last year we have before Jesus comes. We may not even see the end of it. Let's do something in 07. Let's not talk about it, think about it, dream about it. Let's do it.